Please stand by. Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's IBM Data Warehousing conference call. Just as a reminder, today's call is being recorded. At this time, for opening remarks, I would like to turn the call over to Diane McCollum. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Welcome, everybody, to Data Warehousing on Z. Is it right for you? My name is Diane McCollum, and I am the worldwide sales leader for IBM's DB2 for Z and DB2 and IMS tools. I will be your host today. Our speakers are Michael and Shelley David, Business Executive for Data Warehousing Tools Solutions, IBM Software Group, and Jaime Anaya, Senior Software Engineer, DB2Z Development. Great, two wonderful speakers. Now I'd like to turn it over to Michael. Michael?
Hey, thank you, Diane, and thanks to all of you for joining us today. If you look at slide number 3 in your handouts, the agenda page, you'll see the topics that we're going to be addressing today. They include a very brief overview of warehousing, primarily so that you will realize how Jaime and I will be using business intelligence and warehousing terminology during the course of our remarks. We will also be going through some criteria for making decisions about your warehouse and speaking to you about how IBM supports warehousing strategies for System Z. We'll share with you IBM's warehousing on System Z roadmap, and after a brief summary, we'll open it up for questions and answers so that you'll have a chance to ask us what's been on your mind. So let's get started by going to slide 4 for information on how Jaime and I will be using these warehouse-related terms. Business intelligence, or BI, and data warehousing, DW or sometimes WH, data warehousing or warehousing, have a tendency to be used somewhat interchangeably. But typically, when the terms are used, BI tends to include the end-user tools that are used for query, reporting, may include dashboarding, analysis, mining, that sort of thing. But both concepts, warehousing and BI, depend on each other. Business intelligence almost always assumes that there's a warehouse of some kind, an operational data store or a data mart, and that it exists and contains timely and trusted information. A warehouse, however, depends on the end-user tools that can turn that information, turn that data into information. So both terms get to be a little bit blurred in how they're used, but we'll be using them primarily speaking of warehousing and with business intelligence providing end-user access to trusted information in the warehouse. However they're used, they always address the need for timely, accurate, available data that can be delivered when, where, and how end users want it. So with that in mind, I'd like to turn now to some of the criteria for making decisions about your warehouse environment and some of the questions that you may be asking yourselves. On slide 6, one of the things that tends to be on top of mind includes questions about BI compliance. Is your warehouse in compliance? And what does compliance mean? When will compliance issues force closer attention to where you put the data and how and where you move the data? You have issues of internal and external auditing compliance to pay attention to. Are you able to tell your auditors where all of your customer data is? If someone walked in the door today, could you say, yes, all of my customer data is in this place? Can you tell them who did what with the data and when? Is there a good audit trail for data movement? Are you in one of the businesses where Sarbanes-Oxley is something that you have to pay particular attention to? Or any one of a number of other initiatives that are bringing out the need for more scrutiny on your data? SEPA, Basel II, the U.S. Patriot Act, any one of those. Another question might be, can your executives provide accurate, reliable, and timely information for public reporting? We've seen in the news in the last few years some fairly spectacular examples of organizations that were not able to do that. Do we have in your organization capabilities for the audits that would meet explicit requirements of these acts like Sarbanes-Oxley? Do you have appropriate record retention capabilities? And can you deal with the mandated internal controls for all of your IT systems? And another big question is how to maintain the volumes of data. Data is growing at an astonishing rate. How can you maintain the volumes of the data and still be able to provide access to it when you need to? In short, the big question is Who in your organization is ultimately responsible for compliance, and are you ready? Additional questions may evolve around risk to your BI solution. How secure is your data? Where is the data that runs your business today, and do you use it in a data warehouse or for business intelligence applications? And by doing that, is it ended up in multiple places to satisfy multiple user needs and multiple BI solution needs? And if it's in multiple places, are you sure which copies are correct, which copies are current? And what would the cost be if you had a security breach or if your data warehouse was unavailable? On slide 8, you can see some of the costs that are associated with security breaches. I'll leave you to read the table there, but note that the most expensive thing of all is viruses. And since you've called in to hear about data warehousing on System Z today, I'll simply point out that you don't even hear the word virus in the same breath as System Z. Yet here are viruses at the very top of the list of concerns and at the top of the list of costs. I also call your attention to the cost of denial of service. If you're one of those businesses where your computers have to facilitate your doing business on an everyday basis, if those systems are down, what does it cost you that your customers can't buy or that you can't fulfill orders or that you can't get the right goods in the right place when you need them? All of these things have a dollar value, and the CSI FBI computer survey points out what those dollar values have been. An interesting thing at the bottom of this chart is to note that the percentage of organizations reporting these computer intrusions or security breaches has continued to decline year over year. And one of the major reasons for that is felt that that the risk of reputation damage by reporting a security breach is so great that often these things aren't even mentioned, even though they're very much a factor. In case you don't have enough to think about so far, slide 9 continues with some additional questions. Questions about meeting end user demands. In your organization, is BI, is business intelligence, mission critical for how you do your business? Is your warehouse becoming more real-time oriented? Organizations in the past have been able to run their business by using data to take a look at what's happened in the past. Is the need for more near real-time operational data making a part of your business intelligence needs more like an OLTP workload? Can your organization exist with data that's hours, days, or even longer, or even older? Or do you need something that's more up-to-date in order to make those near real-time decisions that affect the course of business on a daily basis? There are also questions about how you continue to handle the growth in data, which is itself continuing to grow. And can your end users access data on the mainframe? Can they do it in a timely way? And can they do it in a way that doesn't compromise security? Also, questions about scale and control of data. To scale and control the total amount of data, the number of queries and transactions, just the sheer number of them, the number of users, and the sophistication of the demands of those users. We're seeing more and more businesses that are beginning to rely on state-of-the-art analysis to chart their course. More and more users are, if you will, pressing the envelope, wanting to combine and use data in more sophisticated ways to perform ever more sophisticated analysis. Are you able to provide that for your users? And then the question becomes, how can I meet the increasing need of end-user demands without additional resources? And without additional resources is a key part of that statement. I think in some organizations, IT organizations are perhaps blessed with continuing budget increases, but that's not necessarily the norm. So the real underlying question is, how can you do more and more with less, or at least with what you have? Then there's the question of overall warehouse or business intelligence strategy. Do you have a clear and focused BI strategy? Or perhaps your environment's grown in response to immediate needs at one particular time, needs either of your end user community or of a particular business problem at the time, or sometimes perhaps grown in answer to the squeaky wheels who are most insistent in asking for services. Can your BI strategy be integrated easily into the rest of your business? Can it be supported by the current IT infrastructure? You may have observed that your business runs on System Z, and for very good reasons. If so, perhaps you've wondered if maybe your BI warehouse should be there too. Perhaps you've wondered what the best BI warehouse infrastructure for your business really is. Might it be a standalone warehouse on Z? Or could you benefit more from a hybrid environment that would be a System Z plus distributed? So with these questions in mind, and as well as others I'm sure that you've thought of that we haven't necessarily touched on, I'd like to turn the presentation over to my colleague, Jaime Anaya, to see if maybe he can help us with some of the answers. Jaime?
Thank you, Michaelyn, and hello to everyone on the call. I'm pleased to be able to be here to continue discussing warehousing on System Z and DB2 for COS with you today. I'd like to begin by summarizing the requirements we at IBM are hearing in this space. This is on slide 11. Of utmost importance is that businesses have found the need to gather intelligence from their operational data on demand in real time or in near real time. That intelligence is helping drive critical business decisions, again in real time, making their BI solution and thus their supporting warehouse as mission critical as their operational systems and data. That in turn is driving the requirement for high levels of availability, security, compliance, and performance. And it also drives the need to help manage high volumes of growth in the three Bs, volume, variety, and velocity. All these requirements have been worked on in System Z and COS and have been excelled on for many years to the point that they are important positive differentiators for the Z platform. Because of those strengths, many businesses have invested in System Z for their operational applications, and some have also invested there for their warehousing needs. Those businesses will, of course, now have the desire to optimize and leverage their existing investment in System Z infrastructure and skills. So let's dig into how IBM is satisfying those requirements in supporting your warehousing needs with System Z. On slide 13, we began by looking on how System Z satisfies the availability requirement for warehousing. The IBM System Z hardware, COS operating system, and DB2 are designed with reliability characteristics like self-monitoring, redundancy, and self-healing, as well as dynamic configuration and management. For example, in DB2, you are able to make database changes, such as adding a partition for your warehouse or rotating a partition without an outage. Enhancements in DB2 version 8 allow you to do more dynamic changes to your database, as well as allowing for more online utilities. Such enhancements continue in DB2 version 9 and beyond, all in an effort to avoid any kind of outage so as to keep your data available all the time. Even though I will mention some DB2 enhancements for warehousing here and there, I will not get into the details or maybe even mention most of them. But I do want to point out that towards the back of the presentation, I have added some additional supporting charts, and you will find all of the many enhancements in DB2 version 8 and version 9 listed there. You can look at them at your leisure. I do have to point out IBM's Parallel Sysplex and DB2 data sharing solution, which together provide the highest level of availability possible in the industry. It provides you the ability to do rolling upgrades of service or versions of your software stack without any application outage. It also provides you the ability to grow your warehouse horizontally by adding systems to the Sysplex, again, all without an outage. Another important component of System Z is the Workload Manager. It has proven its ability to maximize use of available resources. It has done so in many studies and demonstrations and in everyday work being done in COS systems around the world. With Workload Manager, or WLM, a particular element of work can be given an initial priority. More importantly, over time, the priority of a given element of work can be altered based on business needs as expressed in the WLM policy. DB2 for ZOS works hand-in-hand with Workload Manager to ensure that these priority alterations take effect immediately with respect to query processing going on against your warehouse, regardless of how that query may have been paralyzed. The net is that capacity can be brought to bear whenever it becomes available, thus facilitating your ability to have a single system to support both your operational and your warehousing applications. That, in turn, enables the creation of a true real-time warehouse or ODS operational data store in DB2. Or, if you want, you can keep a near real-time operational data store in sync with your operational data. This is an important distinction for the Z platform that I will revisit a little later. But first, I want to clarify a little bit of what I mean by real-time or near real-time. With real-time, I mean that you have your transactional workload and your query workload going against the same data concurrently, which is your operational data. With near real-time, what you've done is taken a copy of your operational data and have separated your query workload to go against that copy of the data. That copy has to be kept in sync, and it's being kept in sync in near time, which says it's within seconds of your operational data. Okay, let's move on to the next chart. On chart 12, I want to now talk a little bit about total cost of ownership. As depicted in this graphic, sometimes only costs that are the tip of the iceberg are discussed. Studies have shown that when operations and maintenance costs over time are included in the cost of any system, the system C costs become much more favorable and in some cases actually turn out to be less than other platforms. This is made true in part because many different applications can share a single system C and in some cases can share the same DB2 subsystem. The example here for this presentation is your OLTP and warehousing workload together. This allows the cost of the administering system C and DB2 to be amortized over the different application workloads, whereas on other platforms, that may not be possible. System C total cost of ownership gets even better if you also take into account the cost to your business from, say, denial of service because of system downtime or the cost from security breaches. Michael Lin mentioned those earlier in the presentation. Even so, IBM continues to introduce innovations that further decrease total cost of ownership. The IBM C9 Integrated Information Processor, or ZIP, designed to maximize resource optimization, is the latest such innovation. It was introduced this year in 2006 and immediately exploited by DB2 for ZOS version 8. The ZIP processor is priced less than general-purpose processors, and the MIPS it provides do not count towards the software costs of the system. I'll speak more on how DB2 for ZOS version 8 exploits ZIPs for warehousing a little bit later. Additional total cost of ownership improvements can be achieved by making use of other specialty processors available on System C, such as the Integrated Facility for Linux, or IFL, and the System C Application Assist Processor, or SAP. Moving on to slide 15, if you remember, a couple of slides back, I mentioned that DB2 for ZOS may house a lot of the operational data and can support the creation of a true real-time warehouse, or ODS. Having the two together on the same DB2 subsystem, or simply on the same platform, System Z, may mean that you can share processes, tools, and procedures that will enable you to streamline compliance and security, reduce complexity, and reduce the overall cost of your system. On slide 16, we explore further how System C helps you deal with a very important and very complex compliance issue. The more places you allow your data to reside in, the more complex and difficult it is to achieve compliance. I can't claim that we can deal with all your compliance issues you may face, but we can certainly help. You can consolidate your data on DB2 to achieve a single version of the truth, and thus a single place for auditors to look. You will be able to reduce the processes and people used to manage compliance. We also provide industry data models that can further assist your compliance needs. On slide 17, you can see that the models can be used not just for business intelligence, but also for SOA, or service-oriented architecture work. The models are specific by industry, as shown on slide 18. They can be used to support banking, telecommunications, retail, and insurance industries. On slide 19, you can see that the models can be used to assist with compliance regulations specific to each of the aforementioned industries. Moving on to slide 20, in addition to those models, we have some specific capabilities that can assist your chosen compliance direction. Listed here are some of the tools you can use. The DB2 Audit Management Expert enables you to collect, view, analyze, and report on data and save it in an audit repository. In the additional slides, you can see additional information on the DB2 Audit Management Expert. The DB2 Test Database Generator can be used to transform production data before it gets moved over to a test system. The DB2 Archive Expert can be used to manage the retention of the large amounts of data in your warehouse to comply with retention regulations. Hand in hand in dealing with compliance is security. One way System Z keeps your data secure is via the use of hardware-assisted end-to-end cryptography. On slide 21, you can see many of the security features allowing System Z and DB2 for ZOS to provide the highest levels of security in the industry. Security is integrated between the hardware, ZOS, and DB2. Protect your warehousing data while it sits in DB2, you can make use of the IBM Encryption for DB2 and IMS databases tool, which makes use of System C cryptography technology. Just last week, in late August, IBM announced new data encryption capabilities for tape drives. Encryption in the tape drive is a new cost-effective approach to securing the large amounts of data in your warehouse, if you use such tape drives for your archive and backup. You also have to manage who has access to what data. ZOS version 1, release 5, and later versions provide multi-level security support, sometimes known as MLS. MLS was designed together with DB2 version 8 to meet the stringent security requirements of multi-agency access to your warehousing data. This support provides row-level security labeling in DB2. Going on slide 23, I show a typical diagram that shows the different components that you are likely to see in any BI solution. There are components for data modeling, another component for data transformation. Some people may talk about these two components together as data analysis, data quality, and data cleansing. Then you have the components for data mining, OLAP enablement, and inline analytics. I also list here some of the products we make available in the different areas, and I will discuss some of those in the next slide. On this slide, I mainly want to emphasize that we understand what goes into the complete end-to-end BI solution. Support for COS in the different areas will be made available in stages. Those components that make sense to run natively on ZOS will do so, but there may be very well be some components that are better suited to run on another platform and remotely access the data on ZOS. Going on to slide 24, I want to talk about some of those components that play in the BI solution. And I want to begin with DB2. In version 8, DB2 provided a significant number of enhancements that make managing a data warehouse much easier. This ranged from not having to worry about specifying space parameters for any table space to the ability to add a partition to a table online while the rest of the data is actively being queried. V8 also increased the number of partitions to 4,096. Before that, it was 254 partitions, which were severely limiting some of our warehousing customers. With 4,096 partitions, it is possible to partition over time, with each partition containing a different day's data, and be able to keep over 11 years' worth of history. It also has the ability to rotate the last partition to become the first partition, which might be of great value to your data warehousing environment. We've also made enhancements to star joins. The performance of processing star joins has been improved in virtually every release since partition product joins were introduced in version 2. Version 8 is no exception. One such enhancement is the use of sparse index when accessing certain intermediate results. We also added the support for materialized query tables, or MQTs. These are sometimes also referred to as automatic summary tables or materialized views. This capability allows the optimizer to rewrite a query to make use of pre-aggregated results placed in a specific table, thus vastly improving elapsed time for certain queries. And then, of course, we also added SIP exploitation, but I want to save that for later. There's also the need for data integration. Components that play in this area or products from IBM are the IBM WebSphere Data Integration Suite, which includes products for data analysis and monitoring, data quality, transformation and movement, and metadata services. For DB2 family data movement, where the required transformations can be achieved via SQL, WebSphere Replication Server can provide your new real-time data needs. For analytics, IBM DB2 AlphaBlox is a premier application development platform that you can use to rapidly build and deploy custom analytic solutions. We also provide some products to help with performance and application management. And, of course, we work closely with partners to cover some of the other areas that we may not be covering, and some of those partners even compete with us in some of these areas. Moving on to slide 25, most of the components described in the two prior slides come together in a BI architecture that can satisfy your BI solution needs. There's a lot of flexibility in such an architecture and quite a bit of choice in the marketplace to fill it. Hopefully, some of the information discussed thus far can help you come to a satisfactory solution as you investigate your options. The question is often asked as to which of the business applications run on System C. The question should be, which applications run against the data on DB2 for ZOS? Business applications, by and large, run on their own application server environment. This application server is distinct from the database server where the data resides. The connection between these two servers usually makes use of DRDA over a TCP/IP network. So the fact that a particular business intelligence application doesn't run physically on System C is not nearly as important as whether or not that application supports DB2 for COS, and DB2 for COS provides the functional capabilities needed to run that application. As long as the SQL functionality is supported, it really doesn't matter where the business application runs. With that in mind, I list here two possible BI architectures. In what I call a pure BI System C solution, the data warehouse is in DB2. It can be on the same subsystem as your operational data, or it can be on different subsystems on the same LPAR, or even on different LPARs, as long as the warehouse resides in DB2. The reporting and analytic or end user tools that give users the information they need out of the data warehouse access DB2 ZOS directly, either running on ZOS themselves or using a web server implementation. In a hybrid BI solution, the data warehouse is still in DB2 for COS. However, reporting and analytic tools run on distributed WebSphere application server, or WAS. If needed, you may also want to create data marks on the distributed systems to further support the reporting and analytic tools. But any such move needs to be weighed against some of the issues that have been discussed earlier in this presentation. Moving on to slide 27, I want to spend a few minutes on why we are now excited to talk to you about warehousing on System Z and DB2 for ZOS. In part, this has been a response to System C customers asking for more warehousing capabilities to respond to the requirements which we outlined back in a prior slide. IBM made investments in System C, COS, and DB2 ZOS, culminating in advances in technology from new developments as well as acquisitions that have optimized the Z platform for enterprise data integration and warehouses. It's worth mentioning again that significant data warehouse capabilities have been added to DB2, with even more coming in version 9. Allow me now on slide 28 to discuss one of those major enhancements that I have been saving because it brings excitement to warehousing on System Z. That is DB2 version 8 exploitation of SIP specialty processor. I already mentioned what it is. Now I want to mention how DB2 exploits it. The SIP is designed so that a program can work with COS to have all or portion of its enclave service SRB work be directed to the SIP. Not all of the work will be run on the SIP. ZOS will direct the work between the general processor and the SIP. The SIP is designed so a software program can work with ZOS to dispatch workloads to the SIP with no anticipated changes to the application. Thus, only changes to ZOS and DB2 have been required. So what kind of DB2 work makes use of SIPs? First, any query request that utilizes parallelism support in DB2 makes use of SIPs. Also, SQL processing of DRDA network-connected applications over TCP/IP make use of SIP processes. And finally, some functions of DB2 utilities that perform index maintenance also make use of SIP processors. All of this have benefit for BI and warehousing in one way or another. On slide 29, I show the roadmap that positioned System C as a hub for mission-critical data. It reemphasizes the investment IBM has made in warehousing and shows that we will continue to make enhancements in this space. I'm not going to go into the individual future items that are in the works or under investigation because, as you know, those things can change. The main point to take home is that IBM understands that warehousing on System Z and DB2-4COS is important, and we are committed to continue making enhancements that improve the value of BI solutions on System Z. In summary, on slide 31, I want to reiterate that System Z and DB2-4COS provide the highest levels of availability, resiliency, security, and recovery at very competitive cost of ownership. With BI and warehousing workloads moving from the back office to the front office, those System C strengths make it a very attractive platform. Remember also that by keeping your operational data and warehouse together in System Z, you can streamline compliance and security, reduce complexity, and reduce the overall cost of your VI solution. One final thought on slide 32. We at IBM are uniquely positioned to help you make the very best use of your information assets, whether on mainframe or on distributed platforms. With that, I'd like now to open it up for any questions you may have. Operator, please allow for questions. Thank you. Operator, are you still there? Sarah?
Today's question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If anyone in the audience has a question or comment at this time, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. You will hear a tone indicating you've been placed in queue, and a voice prompt will indicate when the line is open. Once again, that is star 1 if you have a question or comment. We'll go first to Gary Katz.
Hi, good afternoon. The question I'm having, you will have on the line the team who is supporting the strategy for UDB IBM development. Will we get the similar message from them? Or the message will have a little bit different direction?
This is Jaime. Yes, so we at IBM will work together across the different platforms, COS and distributed, to make sure that what we offer to you for your BI solution makes the best sense for you. So there are strengths in both solutions, and so we will make sure that we bring to you the best possible solution for either platform. And, you know, you might be referring to, with that question, to the fact that in prior years there has been more emphasis on the distributed warehousing solution than on COS. And that is definitely something that we acknowledge has been happening, and we are making improvements there so that our teams on both C and distributed know enough about our capabilities and solutions and strategy across both platforms to be able to give you the best possible choices.
Jaime, this is Michael and, as well, and Gary, I'd like to weigh in on that. what Jaime says is absolutely accurate. You will find though that that in our field we have people who tend to play favorites. There are people who are real promoters of Z, and there are people who are real promoters of distributed. So you know, just with that, you know, once you understand that that situation will always be there. But we are doing more and more training so that that the distributed people know more about Z people know more about distributed. And we also have architects who are trained in both. So, you know, if ever you have, if you ever you feel that you need someone to help you take a view from a few feet farther up on the whole situation, we can provide access to you for folks like that as well. But you will continue to find people. I mean, folks will just play will play favorites based on their background and what they've grown to love and support.
Thank you.
Once again, that is star one if you have a question. We'll go next to James Goodman.
Yeah, this is James Goodman from Caterpillar. We are currently using DB2 on Z for our data warehouse. We also work with distributed business intelligence tools. We're probably along the lines of the hybrid approach that Jaime talked about. Majority of the reason we're on the Z is because a lot of our operational data is on Z, but we do have data that exists in distributed operational systems. And the question I have that I didn't see a lot of, I know you talked about Workload Manager and being able to balance your work processes from the Z environment. Is there a way to schedule and manage processes that run across the multiple platforms in order to load into your Z data warehouse?
Is there a way to manage and schedule processes that, repeat that question again, that take the data from distributed into Z?
Yeah, so I have some data, operational data, that's sitting in, let's say, UDB or Oracle or other non-Z platform repositories, and I need to be able to run extract processes, transformation processes. I'm using data stage, and let's say I'm running in server mode versus running the mainframe piece of data stage. So I want to be able to schedule and run those things, which typically run in a distributed mode, and I want to be able to coordinate that scheduling with, let's say, load processes that need to execute on the Z platform.
Okay, so I was going to mention data stage, but you say you already have data stage in terms of the scheduling capabilities that it has. In terms of moving the data, there's also the replication, which also has some scheduling capabilities, but also gives you the ability to stream the data over. But it seems that what you're partly struggling with is not so much on the distributed side. You can schedule those things, but then as the data moves into ZOS, I'm a little bit confused there because you seem to be struggling with how to schedule or maybe control the concurrency of those processes with existing workload on ZOS. And
well,
that's what I'm kind of getting.
It's more of scheduling, dependencies, linkage between schedules on the distributed side and schedules on the mainframe Z. Similar to a type of scheduling system that you would have on Z, a lot of times you can't cross schedule or hook dependencies between those processes that run, let's say, in a Linux environment or something like that.
Okay. So I think you might want to look into the Tivoli workload scheduler.
Okay.
That may be able to help do what you're trying to accomplish there. It will allow you to, I think, automate some of those processes and schedules. So I don't know much about it, but I think you can look into that one.
Okay. One other thing with that would be we've been familiar with Data Warehouse Manager and some scheduling functionality in there. Is that still incorporated and still does it still have a an OS 390 or a Z agent that you can use?
The DWE integrated solution is distributed, In terms of scheduling, any kind of scheduling help with activity happening on ZOS, I'm not familiar with any of that.
Jaime, I believe that's being subsumed by the former essential array of products.
Okay.
And how far along that is, I don't know. But James, if you want to provide either Jaime or me with your email address, our email addresses are on the very front page of this presentation.
Okay.
We can put you in touch with specific people who can be more explicit about your questions.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As a final reminder today, it is star then one if you have a question or comment. And it appears we have no further questions at this time.
I'd like to thank everyone for taking time out of your busy schedules to attend Data Warehousing NZ. Is it right for you? A special thanks goes out to Michaelyn and Jaime, both of IBM, for being our speakers today, and you, our audience. If you should have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact me, and I will be glad to put you in touch with a DB2 sales rep or DB2 advisor. If you have or are planning on upgrading to DB2 version 8, plan to attend DB2 version 8, Are You Done Yet?, on October 25th. Goodbye, and have a wonderful day.
Again, that does conclude today's conference. We thank you all for joining us.